Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28. And the scripture reads, "Then came," let us stand as we all read the word together. We give reverence to the word of the Lord. Excuse me. "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall be baptized? Are ye able to drink of that cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We are able. And he said unto him, Ye shall indeed drink of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great authority, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to minister to you from a subject this morning. Yes, I'm ready, but are you able? Yes, I'm ready, but are you able? As we begin this message, the Lord wants us to understand that there is a distinct difference between being ready and being able. Webster's dictionary defines ready as prepared or available for service or action. And then he defines able as having sufficiency, ability, or resources. And so there's a distinct difference between the two. So let me give you an example this morning. Brand new car. Brand new engine. Sitting on four blocks with no tires. You can start the car, and the car will run as long as there's gasoline in the engine. The car is ready. But because there's no tires on it, it ain't able to go nowhere.
That's right.
Ready, but not able. Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Let me give you another example. Some of y'all don't know, but my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter, Thursday broke her ankle, broke her leg in five different places at school. They called me on the job and they said, Pastor, your daughter has fallen. It's an emergency. We've already called the ambulance. What hospital do you want us to take her to? So we get to the hospital, they take the x-rays, and they said, your daughter has broken her leg in five places. And they said, it's a strong possibility that we're going to have to do surgery. We can't do nothing for you here. We need to rush her to King's Daughters. So my daughter looks at me and my wife, who's sitting in the emergency room, and her first question is, can I still dance? She's ready. But she's not able. Y'all understand the difference between being ready and being able.
That's right.
And so this morning, what the Lord wants us to understand, that there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that say they're ready to move into the next dimension of ministry.
Come on.
They're ready to go with God wherever he wants to take them, whatever the assignment is on their life. But when the hellhounds show up at your doorstep, then you show that you're not really able to do what you said you was ready for. Am I doing all right this morning? So for those of you that are going into ministry, those of you that are already in ministry, it's critical that you understand what I'm going to minister to you this morning under the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. Notice the first response that Jesus gives to the mother of Zebedee and her sons in verse 22. He said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able?" He didn't ask them if they were ready. But he said, "Are ye able?" How can I know if I'm able to handle the responsibility and the assignment that the Lord Jesus Christ is calling me to? I'm going to give you six things this morning. Number one is, do you have pure motives?
Come on,
oh, Lord, Pastor, I thought it was anniversary and y'all, you just going to be nice and give us something to jump over the chairs about. Tell us how blessed we're going to be. I'm trying to bless you right
Thank
now.
You.
The mother of Zebedee's children came to Jesus, the Bible says, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. She didn't have pure motives. Because if she was coming to Jesus to worship him, she wouldn't have been desiring of him anything. See, you got people in the body of Christ that got different types of motives for coming to church. I ask people all the time, what you here for? If you're here to find a boyfriend, if you're here to find a girlfriend, if you're here looking for a wife or a husband, you're here for the wrong reason. If you're here for anything other than to hear from God, you're here for the wrong reasons. And so you get people that step into ministry, but their motives are all backwards. As we grow this church, it don't look like it's packed out now. But as we begin to attract thousands, some people just will come because we're a big church. And because of different speakers that we'll bring in, and people that do different stuff, their motives are wrong.
That's right.
And you got to have pure motives and right intentions if you're going to hook up with the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the assignment that's spoken over your life. Because I got news for you, baby. The real you will show up after a while. I've been dealing with people for 10 plus years, and it's not long for the real you show up after a while. Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Number two is self-examination. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, so let a man examine himself. You always have to keep the focus on yourself and not on others. Tell yourself, self,
focus on me.
Don't look at your husband.
Don't look at your
wife. Don't look at your neighbor.
Don't look at
your co-worker. Don't look at the person sitting next to you. But focus on you. If you would focus on yourself, you would able to do a self-examination. You got to make sure that your life and your lifestyle is pleasing and acceptable in the eyesight of God. And it's unfortunate that a lot of people in the body of Christ often put the focus on others instead of themselves.
Right.
Y'all not going to work with me, but we already got your money. We're quick to point out the highlights and the faults and the shortcomings of others. Oh, but we ain't quick to look at our own. Quick to see when Sister Gainey is late for church. Quick to see when this brother didn't speak to me. Quick to see when First Lady didn't do this or didn't do that. But when the shoe is on the other foot,
all right.
Oh, y'all ain't talking now, see. We ain't too quick. We ain't got a whole lot to say. Because I'm telling you, when you step into the things of God, and if you don't keep the focus on yourself, you're going to make some mistakes. And if you put all your energy and you build your ministry around focusing on other folk, it's going to become a time when you get caught slipping.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Then you're going to need mercy, but you didn't have no mercy when the shoe was, y'all ain't even going to work with me. Let me keep moving. I'm from the old school. They used to sing a song that said, Lord, shine the light on me. Y'all remember that? That's before we got into this contemporary gospel. That's old school traditional. Shine your light on me, Lord. Let me see me. Let me see the shortcoming and the error of my ways so I can do what I need to do and grow up in you. Now, number three is self-denial. Let's look at St. Matthew 16:24. That's why I asked you to bring your Bibles, because I don't preach out the Sears catalog or the Jet magazine. Matthew 16:24 said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me," look at this, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." When you deny yourself, you recognize that it's not about you, but it's about him. Say this with me. Say, it's not about me.
It's about him.
And we can't get caught up in self.
That's right.
And so self-denial will cause you to be humble and show humility, because you recognize that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? You see, one of the things that happens to people after they've entered into ministry and been in it for a while, they forget where they came from. Oh, I'm doing real good, ain't I? I'm doing real good this morning. See, you forget that it was a time when you couldn't pay your bills,
Amen.
When the repo man was hooking up to your stuff, and when VA Power was shutting you off, and when your check was in the negative. You forget about that stuff because, see, God bless you now. Now you got a little money. Now you got a little car. Now you got a big ministry. But you forget about where you came from. And you ought to have mercy on people that God sent to you, because all it is they're where you used to be.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. I believe I'm preaching real good.
Yes.
When you deny yourself, you don't turn up your nose at folk and belittle people that are not where you are, because you understand where they are.
Right.
Say this with me. Say, Lord,
help me not to forget
where I came from. Now, that don't mean you have to live a sheltered life or you got to live in your past.
Right.
But it does mean you don't got to get all snotty and highfalutin, because
right.
money got a way of changing people.
Yes,
oh, Lord, ministry got a way of changing people.
Yes,
because you get prestige and status, but you forget about who helped push you to the forefront. Oh, God.
Come on.
Oh, Jesus. When you have denied yourself, listen to me closely, your title does not come before you.
All right.
In other words, you make the title and the title doesn't make you.
That is right. Amen.
I never introduce myself as I'm pastor.
That's right.
I don't know you. God bless you, man. My name's Paul. Good to meet you. Now, you should, the Bible say, let your light shine.
Amen. That's right.
When I met this brother, he came to my class. He didn't know I was a pastor.
Amen. That's right.
I never introduced myself to you as Pastor Paul.
Amen.
I was Paul. I'm a brother just like you are.
Amen.
I understand there's a protocol and there's an order that you need to follow. But you can't let your title come before you. Because I was looking at this, you know, the Lord said, well, what happens, son, if the title go from a person?
Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord. You get a title, but you lose the title. You don't have it no more. And see, if you're not the same person you was before you got the title,
okay.
then you never recognize what real self-denial
All right.
was.
All right.
Because if I'm just based on pastor, but if I ain't pastoring no more, then that all that prestige and stuff go along, that all that stuff go out the door.
Come on.
So you got to focus on denying yourself. Number four, am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Y'all going to come back this afternoon?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. All right. Good. We're doing good. We're doing real good. I didn't get everybody to say yes, but I got the majority rules. Number four is suffering for righteousness' sake. Jesus asked the question in verse 20. He said, in verse 22, he said, "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" What was Jesus talking about here? He was referring to the suffering that he had encountered and would encounter when he went to the cross.
Amen.
You see, when you're able and not just ready, you're willing to suffer for righteousness' sake.
That's right.
You're willing to take a stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and die for what you believe in if needed.
Come on.
If I was to ask y'all a real serious question, how many are you willing to die for what you believe in?
Amen. Come on.
What do you believe in? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I've set my life according to the scripture.
Yeah.
And so that means that I'm willing to die for that.
Come on,
But you get people that want to get in ministry but are not willing to suffer for righteousness' sake.
All right. Come on, Pastor.
We're in a country where Christianity is an accepted religion.
Yes.
And so we're not going to have the police rolling up here and taking us for jail for celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on.
But we're grateful that we weren't born in Indonesia and China and Africa and different places where Christianity is not the accepted religion. Where you have to bow to the God, little g, of the nation. And if they catch you preaching or teaching or practicing anything else other than the God of the nation, you will have to die for your faith. And some of us got the audacity to sit in here and fall out the church when you get a little bit of persecution on your job that Paul calls light affliction. Y'all ain't even gonna mess with me this morning. Are you willing to suffer for righteousness' sake? Because if you're going to walk into this level of ministry, you got to be willing to pay a price for it.
Amen.
The anointing don't come easy. Favor don't come easy. Power don't come easy. Speaking to devils and making them obey in the name of Jesus don't come easy, baby. You got to be willing to pay a price for what God wants to do with you. Y'all see why this is the last message in this series? When the disciples made this statement that they were able, that's what they said. Jesus asked them a question. He said, look, y'all mama came to me and said y'all wanted to be anointed. And Jesus looked back at them and said, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with? And they said, Lord, we are able. They answered a question but did not realize the weight of the statement. Y'all don't realize sometime when you say yes, Lord, that you got to pay a price for saying yes, Lord. Your husband might walk out on you. Your wife might walk out on you. You may lose some things in this life because you don't realize the weight of what you're saying. What do you mean by that, Pastor? John was sent to an island called Patmos and he was boiled in hot oil. That's how he ended up. But he said, yes, Lord, we're able. Peter was crucified. And the man of God said that I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus was. So hang me upside down. The apostle Paul ended up in prison. And we don't even know how he ended up, how he died. Many were stoned. Many were beaten. Many their eyes were poked out because they had made a decision. And they were not ready. They were able to handle the anointing and the power of God. And the assignment that God put on their lives. Am I doing all right? God, I give you praise right now. Number five is personal issues. Look at this. And when the 10 heard it, they didn't celebrate. They were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Do y'all see that? In other words, they were mad with the other two disciples that had put their mother up to asking Jesus what he did. Do y'all know what that did? It showed their level of spiritual maturity. Give me some volume because I'm not hearing myself. It showed their level of spiritual maturity. You can say that you're saved and you're ready all day long. But if you're not spiritually mature enough to bury your personal issues with the things of God, then you're not ready to serve in ministry. Spiritually mature saints do not let their personal issues, hang-ups, disagreements, misunderstandings get in the way of accomplishing the will of God for their lives.
Amen.
There are too many people, and some of you are in this church, some of you that are listening by audio, have personal issues that are getting in the way of accomplishing the will of God for your life.
My God, help us.
I don't mind telling it. I was unemployed for 14 months.
Yes, sir.
Won't get in a check. Still had mortgage. Still had car insurance.
Come on, sir.
Still had four babies that need to be fed. And we didn't always have the money. But I was in church every Sunday morning, praising the Lord, not talking about my personal issues. And if I hadn't have told some of you, y'all wouldn't even have known.
Amen. Come on.
But pastors get phone calls from petty stuff that people can't get together in their own household for the sake of the gospel. Baby, bury your issues, bury your mess, bury your junk, and realize that there's an assignment of God over your life. You got to get beyond personal mess and junk when you are serious about ministry and about moving into the things of God. Yes, Lord, I'm ready. But are you able? We got a whole lot of ready Christians in the church, but we ain't got too many that are able. The Bible says that few are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus said himself, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You got a lot of people that talk a real good game when it comes to getting involved in the things of God. They talk a great game. Pastor, I'm there. I'm supporting. I got your back. Oh, y'all know the saying. But when the stuff hit the fan. Now, let me tell you a secret. This is for you, man of God. You can't pastor people till you rebuke them. I'm not pastoring none of y'all till I'm able to correct you. And you don't get an attitude.
All right.
And you don't get your lip all turned up like you've been sucking on lemon juice and sour pickles like a bulldog in the summertime and say, now I'm leaving the church. If you're not able to take correction from your leader, then I'm really not pastoring you.
Right. Say that. That's good. Amen.
I told this brother, we talked about him becoming my armor bearer. And I said, now I'm telling you, going to be some times when pastor got to pull your coattail, pastor got to check you. You can't get no attitude and walk out. Because if you do, it shows where you really are. All my sound team and everybody at work, it's times I'm a nice guy, but it's time where I got to correct you. I got to instruct you in right. Now, I'm not talking about rebuking you every day. And every week, you know, you go to some churches, you rebuke every day, every week. You wonder, am I doing anything right, Lord?
Come on.
They got churches and pastors like that where you're just wrong all the time. You're wrong if you're in shorts. You're wrong if you're in long pants. You're wrong with makeup. You're wrong with earrings, jewelry. You're just wrong, wrong, wrong. But we're not like that. A time where we have to correct you and we got to instruct you in righteousness and say, sister, you're not really hearing the Lord right there.
Come on.
And you got to be willing not to get no wind in your jaws and walk away from the church.
That's real.
You know what determines your call and your anointing and your ability? Is if you leave a church, but you're not operating in what you said God called you to do. Because you're sending a message that my call was predicated upon where I was.
Amen.
And if your call is predicated upon where you were never called. Because you're anointed whether you're in First Baptist, whether you're in Williamsburg, whether you're in Newport News, you're anointed.
That's right. Amen.
And when you pick up and go, then you ought to be picking up somewhere else doing the same thing that you said you was called to do. Not having an issue in an alt and saying all churches are bad and all pastors ain't got it together because the devil is a liar.
Amen.
Church ain't a perfect place. It's the most crooked place it is on the planet.
My.
You want to find crookedness? Come to church.
Come on,
you want to find evilness? Come to church.
Come on,
you want to find folk that's tripping and talking crazy? Come to church. Because we're a place full of imperfect people.
That's real.
I'm not perfect.
Amen.
Don't ever try to make me a God or somebody that I just do everything right. I make mistakes.
Amen.
You make mistakes.
Amen.
And if you're trying to find the perfect location, baby, you're going to fool yourself and bust hell wide open. You better hear the word of the Lord and find a place where you can hook up and get reactivated in the thing that you said God called you to do and stop making excuses and have personal issues because time is running out. We got too many lost souls out there that don't know Jesus. I got too many single mothers that are getting beat in their homes that need deliverance and need a place to come. I got too many men that haven't been fathered by anybody that need strong men of God. I got too many young children that have never seen their parents, never seen their fathers, and they got to come into a place where they can say, these folk got themselves together and I can hook up here and I can get beyond my issues. But if you don't ever get it together, it's a dying world out there that's waiting for you to get your stuff in order so that we can move with God. Am I doing all right? Number six, and we're going to close with this. Verse 25 through 28. Now look at this. Jesus called unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But look what Jesus said. It shall not be what? It shall not be what? It shall not be what? It shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Now that's just as backwards as two left shoes. The Lord didn't say, get a bishopric. And get 100 folks to submit to you and don't do nothing to them. We got to fix that. He said, whoever is chief among you, the highest one in the group, let him serve. Listen to me closely. Throughout his time here on earth, Jesus has always kept his mind and focus on others and serving. When you are able to do what God has called you to do, your mindset will consistently be on the service of others. Jesus recognized that the Gentiles were focused on dominion and authority. That was what their focus was. It's just like the world today. Whoever's got the most money, drive the biggest car. Whoever's got the most money has the most power in the land. It's always been and always will be about who you know. Amen. Jesus recognized this, and he says, when you dedicate the majority of your time, look at your ministries, brethren, and focus on how much you focus on dominion you have over others and authority versus how much your focus is on true service. If the tables are unbalanced, then you have lost your focus. Because Jesus said the true focus should always be on others and service. I was talking with the Lord the other day, and y'all may not see it now, but I know that there's an anointing on my life for bishopric. I know that. Amen. I know that. Amen. And I was saying to the Lord, what sense does it make for you to bring me out and put me in a place of influence, but I not go back and get somebody else and bring them to where I am? It's a new generation. It's a new mantle of bishops that are coming into the set frame now. Because it ain't about how many people you can get at your conference. Hello.
Come on.
It ain't about how many covenant pastors can sow $1,000 into you. It's about taking what the Lord Jesus Christ has put on your life and bringing them to where you are. What good am I as a bishop if I don't bring the pastors up under me to where I am? That's the purpose for them seeking me out. They see what's on my life and they want it. So if I'm going to waste my time and just have you there but not tell you what it took, tell me something, Bishop.
Amen.
Tell me how to get where you are.
Yes, yes.
Don't just let me write you a check and we don't talk and I don't pick up the phone or I'm in trouble. And again, it doesn't mean that I'm at your beckon and call either.
That's right. Amen.
But it does mean that my office and my authority helps you to get to where you are, where I am. And if I've lived a life where the wealth and the prosperity and the mantle of ministry have just impacted my own house, then I've seriously missed it with God. Somebody need to give God a praise for that. If the blessings are resting on my house alone and they're not resting on the houses of the covenant pastors, then I'm missing it. Because my focus is on dominion and authority versus service and giving.
Amen.
Am I doing all right? You teach a man to fish, he'll never be hungry. You're going to sow $1,000 into my life if I'm showing you how to get what I got. Am I right?
Amen.
You're going to show into my life and into the ministry if I'm helping you to do what you've got called you to do.
Yeah.
But if you're just sowing and you ain't getting nothing out of it,
come
then
on.
You're just wasting money.
Come on.
Hello.
Amen.
I want a harvest to come out of my seed.
Amen.
I'm just not putting nothing in the pot just to be doing it.
Amen.
A pastor gave $1,000. So what? I'm looking for something.
Amen.
I ain't going to the conference to let you see what kind of suit I got on and what kind of shoes I'm wearing. So what?
Yes.
Teach me how to go from 300 to 3,000 in 6 weeks.
Yes.
Oh, God, y'all ain't hearing me this morning.
Come on,
teach me how to set my finances up right so my church don't struggle.
Yes.
Sit down with me and say, Pastor, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you saying? What? Teach me something, Bishop.
Yes. Yes.
Keep your focus on service and giving, and dominion and authority will come.
Amen.
You want to be the man? Serve people. That's why my wife and I don't have no problem serving.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
We served for 5.5 years in another man's vision.
Amen.
No pay, no money, no thank you.
Right.
Got here and we serve.
Amen.
We're not asking y'all to do nothing we haven't done or will not do.
That's right.
That's good leadership. When you have leadership like that, the Bible says you ought to follow that kind of faith.
That's right.
Because it will bring you into an inheritance.
Amen.
Now, here's the other thing. You get some folk that sit in church and they take advantage of that. You got some people that sit in the pews and wear suits and they think because the pastors have a servant heart and are concerned about their ministry that they can just do them any old kind of way. But that's when that pastoral authority rises up.
Yeah.
And say, it's still only one pilot to this plane.
Right.
Hello.
Amen.
I have many co-pilots, but it's one pilot.
Amen.
I'll let you fly it. I'll let you drive it. Just remember whose plane it is.
That's right.
Am I doing all right?
That's good.
Remember whose ministry you serving under.
Amen.
Remember who needs who.
Amen.
I'm not sitting in your church. Am I doing all right?
You're doing all right, man.
You sitting in my church.
Amen. That's right.
God's given me an anointing and moved me into an area where I can bring you into what you feel you're called to do.
Amen.
Know the reverse. It's not a reversal of roles.
Amen.
I'm not sitting down here listening to you this morning.
Amen. That's right.
You follow me?
I'll follow
you. Now, if I was, guess what I'd be doing?
Fine.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Amen.
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 Bless the Lord.
Yes.
How can I serve? How can I help?
That's right.
Am I doing all right?
You're doing all right, Pastor.
Am I doing all right? That's real ministry. I'm trying to tell you, you'll have people that'll try to choke your chain and try to run your ship. But it's only one captain.
Amen.
Only one apostolic voice in the house.
Amen.
I don't care if you're Bishop Jakes. I don't care if you're Juanita Bynum.
That's right.
Hello.
That's right.
I don't care if you can preach circles around me.
That's right.
I don't care if you got more money than me.
Amen.
None of that matters.
That's right.
It's one captain and one ship.
Amen. That's right.
But when the attitude is on service, you don't have to focus on that.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
I have to come in here and say, I'm pastor, pastor, pastor. Y'all know who the pastor is. I lead from the front. I just have a delegative leadership style. I give you guidelines to operate within that authority. I say, this is a way you can do this. These are some guidelines. Operate in here. If you want to shift from that, let me know first. So why? So we all speak in the same thing in the house. Am I doing okay? I'm going to close today, and I'm going to make an appeal to those of you that sense that you're not only ready for ministry, but you're able to complete the assignment that God has given you. Today I was going to anoint all of my workers, and I was going to speak into your lives, and I was going to do all this stuff. But I said, Lord, I'm only going to do it for those that feel that they're not only ready, but also able. Because I can decree and spit and holler and rebuke devils off your life all day long. But if you're just ready, you like the car. You're going to sit there and run till the gas run out. 6 months later, I got to make a transition in ministry. What happened to so-and-so? Ready, but not able. There's some of you in here today that the enemy have been assigned to your life, and he has spoken things to your life, and every time it seems like you're getting to crescendo, you're getting to plateau, the enemy tries to pull your coat chain or your coattail. Today is your day. If you believe God, I will stand in my pastoral authority and under the mantle of the Holy Spirit, backed and certified by the Word of God, we will command those demonic forces to loose your life in Jesus' name. And as long as you don't go back to them, they won't come back to you. Stand on your feet. Let me warn you. Give us that track and just put it on repeat. The Bible says that when a man's house is cleaned, if he's not careful.